Mini episode 58 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Outside the Box Score, your home on the web for entertaining sports columns and videos. Follow them on the web at outsidetheboxscore.blogspot.com.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All righty, and welcome out to the Ripper Owens Tap House. We are out here to check out the Killer Is Me show. A lot of things have happened. We now have a new sponsor, Balls Energy Drink, and SIT Strings. Also with us today, since Freddie's off playing Rockstar somewhere in Cleveland, we have Rick Morris from the FDH Lounge.
A little co-production here tonight, Anthony.
Yeah, this show will also come up on Ricky's channel as well. So we got
the FDH Lounge.
Two things going on here. So, you want some balls?
What kind of balls do we
have? Got cherry, we got regular, and this is sugar-free.
Sugar-free.
Okay, we're passing off the sugar.
Anthony's always had an affinity for balls.
We're passing off the sugar-free balls. So.
Yeah.
Boy, this is all new. So
I want to be in the corner doing this.
So many guys are out here be talking about balls.
Yeah. I'm sitting in a corner with six guys, you know. Wow. Okay. So with us, holding the microphone on the other side is Dave Hershey. He's in Killer Is Me. Dave, you want to tell us a little bit about the band?
Well, it was something that kind of started as an accident. I was out playing a gig one night, and I just loved the Unplugged album by Alice in Chains, and it's very moving. You know, it'll set you into a mood, and it's something you can just sit and chill to, kind of like, you know, like Steely Dan or something like that. But ran into a couple guys here. Let me get a little closer here. Sorry, you'll have to increase that one.
No problem.
I ran into a couple guys and said, hey, you know, we kind of started the idea and said, hey, let's see where it goes. And later we ended Randy and Tony Donatelli, who used to play with them Bones. And it's just taken off from there, and it's doing really well so far.
So is that all you do is play acoustic sets? Do you do electric or?
We do the electric too. Stick around.
Okay. Ooh.
Stick around, you're here tonight.
Yeah, a little bit of a tease. Stick around. Hey, he's got balls.
Like, it's just like, exactly.
I got the rum. I got the balls. I got the stage presence.
And after that, he owes me a shot.
Are you guys pretty much strictly limiting it to that era, or like for example? Yeah, those talk about a new album supposed to come out next year, possibly. If that's something that seems to fit in with the sound of some of the older stuff, are you open to incorporating
Absolutely.
That?
Oh, we do the full spectrum of Alice in Chains. In fact, tonight you'll hear Your Decision and Check My Brain off. The latest, yes.
Excellent. Get to hear it all, then.
Well, cool. I'm a big fan of the acoustic. That's why I'm kind of excited. I was like, acoustics, it's fun, you know, just hearing the guitars.
We figure we start you out, we open up for ourselves with the acoustic, get you all set in and comfortable and ready to kind of rock, and then take a little break and bang your heads out with the electric and get ready to rock.
Nice.
Big time then.
Nice.
Hopefully you have some hearing left after we're done.
So, no guarantees.
Hearing is overrated anyway, right?
Yeah, it is.
We just had that
It's like sleep.
So what are... Dave and Randy, both of you can answer this. What are some of your backgrounds, like other bands you've been in, that led you kind of this way?
Well, I was in another Alice in Chains and Godsmack tribute band called Smack Alice, and I was the original bass player to Dark Side of the Moon, doing Pink Floyd tribute, and been in a bunch of cover bands, and I was in started Mind Crime for a bit, doing Queensryche tribute, but that didn't work out. They're on their own.
Some of those guys ought to be stopping out tonight.
Right, they're excellent band, by the way.
And Angered Orchestra. Yeah, we got a lot of good people coming out.
Been doing the tribute scene around here for a lot of years.
Does the name of that Alice in Chains and Godsmack tribute band, does that imply, did you ever do any mashups of them or ever incorporate any of them together or just pretty much separately?
pretty much separately. Okay. Either Godsmack.
It was cool. It was really cool.
They're from the Warren area.
Two good heavy bands, you know, for like, you know, you go from the 90s into the new millennium, and, you know, that's a really good show.
That would be really cool to mix them. Yeah.
Sounds like it, yeah.
I personally came from a little band out of Columbus called The Gods, and, my time with that is kind of hazy. And I was like really actually just talking to somebody earlier and going, oh, my goodness, you know, I have to sit here and think about my 5 years with the gods, and they're asking me about 30 years ago. And I'm like, I can't even remember half the 5 years with the gods. So it was a good time. And, you know, I've done other tribute acts such as a Theater of Pain. It was a Motley Crue tribute, and a more well-known tribute strutter to Kiss, and had the pleasure of meeting Gene and Paul about 5-6 times.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
As a result, so very, very blessed in my career.
Motley Crue tribute. That's Anthony's favorite. Anthony's favorite band is Motley Crue. He'd love to see that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
How long you guys been doing the Alice in Chains thing?
It's about a year now. It's kind of started thinking about it about a year ago, and then, you know, like I said, we kind of just went at it by, you know, hey, we're just kind of getting together, seeing where this is going to go. And, well, you know, there's a lot of talent in this band. Mm-hmm. And it just took off, and I couldn't think of a better band because, you know, I'm old school 70s metal, 80s metal, you know.
In the right
speaking
place
of Ripper,
for, yeah.
Ripper Owens, Tap House, you know, Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the Seattle grunge scene, but Alice Chains definitely kept me going during the 90s.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I mean, in having researched a little bit about them as well as having listened to some of their stuff, they seem to kind of fight that label a little bit. You know, if you told them they were grunge, they might, I'm not going to say punch you in the face, but they might kind of take issue with that.
Yeah.
So, let's put it this way. Alice in Chains is a rock band.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. You don't know what style they're going to come off with, so
yeah,
it's a lot of
different
fun
stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Their early stuff is very dark, you know, it's kind of dark.
Mm-hmm.
It mixes well. The chord progressions are cool. What they do with the bass versus the guitars, you wouldn't think about it, but until you actually had to sit down and start learning it.
See, you know what? And that raises an interesting question, because I got to imagine guys like you playing in a band like this, obviously such huge fans of theirs, you guys must stay really plugged into stuff. Have you guys gotten any kind of indication of what that the album, the material that they're working on now might sound like, and any buzz about that?
I just know right now that it's confirmed for 2012.
Okay.
So we're kind of looking forward to that. And
okay.
I was really energized about all this, too. You know, after hearing Check My Brain for the first time, I was like, I know. As soon as you hear that riff, off the bat, you know who it is.
It
and I was like, that's how that. I'm like, who? You know, people are like, who is that? And I'm like, well, the only thing I could think of would be Alice in Chains, and it was their, you know, it was their new release after many years of being stagnant. Mm-hmm. But you know, just their small little bit of repertoire that they have is very, very. You know, it was incredible that they wrote the amount of good material that they did in such a short time while Lane was still around.
Are they still using the material that Lane wrote?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. William Duvall now.
I mean, newer material that he
yeah,
put
I've been
album.
Studying a lot of the new stuff and watching the newer, you know, version of Alice in Chains with William Duvall, and he's definitely got it. He's definitely got it. He commands the stage, and they were impressed. You know, I watched an interview with Jerry Cantrell, and he said he was really impressed with the fact that he just took it by, you know, took the bull by the horns, and just he couldn't believe that somebody that came out of nowhere could command a stage like that, and he does a great job.
Well, you never know the story of these. I mean, look at where we're sitting tonight, Ripper Owens Tap House. I mean, you know, you never know where the next great lead singer is going to come from.
And I remember running sound years ago at Ramones in Akron, and there was this little tubby kid to come up. And he had this bowl cut, kind of like an Amish. And don't tell Tim I said that, because I tell you what. And he come out, and they did Free Will Burning by Priest. And I was like, oh, my goodness, who is this? And, you know, there you go. And here's what's bizarre, too, about the Gods thing later on, is I was sitting there talking to somebody going, you know, it was cool that Tim got into Judas Priest. He goes, and I was like, joking around, I said, well, the only two bands I could probably do would be like The Gods or Kiss. Mm-hmm. And I got hired by The Gods a week later.
Nice.
So talk about speaking your own destiny, you know what I'm saying?
There you go. I wish I could do that, speak my own destiny.
Yeah, well, it hasn't worked since then, so don't. It was a fluke, I'm pretty sure. So.
Tops on the charts, here I come, damn it.
There you go.
Reach for the skies. Brain fart, lost it.
Matt, that's all right. That can be edited.
Yeah. That's right. People don't have to hear that 20 seconds, Matt, but thanks anyways.
Here, let me hand the mic to Jeff and listen
to
him babble.
There is another man sitting here.
Yeah.
Come on, here.
And nobody's mentioned anything about
him. I'm the quiet one in the band.
You're the quiet one.
One of our backbones there.
Well, talk a little and tell us a little bit about yourself, Jeff.
Well, actually, this is only my second band I've ever been in. I'm the new guy, 50 years old, and I'm just now getting into this. I've been playing guitar for maybe 5 years at the most. So, and I've known Dave through other associates and other guys that I've jammed with, and pretty much how this whole thing took off.
Okay, I finally figured out that question I was going to ask. It was a little slow on the brain here, sorry. But what's the more important to you guys as far as a look or the sound when you're doing a tribute band?
The sound is important. We have our own look.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't
look. We look like us.
That's good.
Well, I'm 50 years old and going bald.
It's not like the Kiss thing. I mean, you had to sound and look like him. This is something I can't look like Jerry Cantrell. I don't have blonde hair, you know, and or the cool guitar. So, you know, this is something that, you know, definitely we're striving to make sure that sounds as close as possible. Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a tribute to somebody, it's the ultimate respect and, you know, to that band, you know. It's the ultimate compliment, you know.
I've seen a lot of bands that are tribute bands, and that's what they do. They go for the look, too. We saw a Van Halen one the other day. Yes.
Freddie's brother, coincidentally.
Good band.
Yeah. They all dressed up just like it.
But no matter what, I will always look like a Randy Stillman.
A Randy Stillman,
only,
yes.
100% original.
Absolutely. But you will, the more that we go on, the more you hear us, you know, with the backing vocals and the guitar parts that we got going on, the whole thing about Allison Chains is it's a full sound. And mm-hmm. we can create that.
Yeah, I think we say that on the website is close your eyes and... Yeah, after a couple songs, you start going, hold on, you know.
Yeah, probably nobody's looking more forward to the new album coming out than us. Mm-hmm. Right. We want to hear it and start working on it and get it out there and
yeah.
start playing it.
That's a great way to start spreading it to the fans is when you guys are able to play gigs, you know, they can hear it that way. It's an interesting thing when you guys were talking about your backgrounds before and some of the different cover bands you've been in. I mean, you know, you don't tend to think much about the concept of, like, a cover band super group, but really you guys are pretty experienced in a lot of different things.
Well, we also have Tony Donatelli from a band called Them Bones. It was another area's Alice in Chains band that, you know, they broke up after a few years. And so we were really lucky to get him. And I think Drew pretty much came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And,
wait till you hear this kid. Yeah. Wait till you hear this kid. Excellent. Yeah. You're going to think Lane's back in the room.
Wow.
David
wow.
came back from the 80s. I'm originally from the Jersey Shore area.
Mm-hmm. So Jersey.
A lot of clubs back then. In the 70s, different, you know, cover band still, but, I mean, it was a different animal, you know, Queen, you know, Black Sabbath, real good stuff like that. And most of the bands that were playing in Jersey were doing either basic rock covers or originals. That's where Springsteen and Southside Johnny's band mm-hmm. grew up in that area, playing with all those guys. I was 14. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. They were about 18.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They would go to clubs. I would have to sneak out the window and hitchhike down Route 9 to go to the clubs. Sneak in because you had to be 18 to get in. But I looked older than I was.
Right on.
Than I was. So. Yeah.
Bigger when he was 12.
Kind of like that kid on that Capital One commercial.
Yeah.
With the big
ow.
Hey, it was the 70s, man. You know?
Yeah, I couldn't get away with that when I was a kid. There's no way.
That's a great time and place. The Jersey Shore in the 70s, like you said, you know, at Springsteen and, you know, Southside Johnny and that whole thing going on there. That must have just been incredible to have been catching some of the bands that were playing then.
Hey, good music scene. Even later on, just a few years later, just down the road, bands like Kix from Baltimore, man. And I got to be friends with those guys while I was in the Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, we were playing Rock City in mm-hmm. Baltimore. And I look off to the side of the stage. I'm running around in 5-inch heels, you know, with Ace Frehley makeup on. I look over, and there's three of the guys from Kix going, hey, Dave, how you doing, buddy? You know, that was cool.
And the first time I met him, he spit on me on stage.
Oh.
But it was part of the act.
Quite by accident.
Oh. Part of the act.
Sure. Well,
anything you want to share with us, Randy?
He needed to do it like Blue Man Group.
I think that was Dan.
That was Dan. Yeah, that was Dan. Because I was about to say, that would have to be later on when I got with the Guns N' Roses tribute. Yeah. And we literally got barred from about every bar we ever played at because we actually thought we were Guns N' Roses.
Wow.
Dan spit blood at me. That's what it was.
Now, I did get barred from a Waffle House in Columbus with the Gods.
Uh-oh. So
that was cool.
Now, that's a story of a different color.
Yeah, well, I guess they don't appreciate you writing the Gods rule in cream on the window at 3 in the morning. So,
wow.
Pretty funny stuff. We'll have to go over that maybe next time you guys come back and I talk to you about the solo stuff, we'll talk about some of those Gods dimes there because that's a whole nother bird.
Mm-hmm. So when people come out to see a Killer Is Me show, do you mix it up or is it the older stuff? Then the newer stuff.
Oh, it's all mixed up.
Oh, that's cool.
You don't know what's coming next. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. That is for sure.
You have to keep it fresh.
And we do know, that Dave does not like to look at John Corabi's face while he's playing guitar.
Well, there was one too many posters next to me there. I felt like, what are you looking at, buddy? You know, don't judge me. Oh my goodness. Right now, I got Rudy Sarzo staring at me.
Yeah.
And a few other guys.
Everybody's staring. Holy cow.
You know. Yeah. This is a really cool little room here at the Rippers Owens house.
A lot of pretty
sweet guitars on the walls.
Yeah.
Rippers leather coat from the Judas Priest years. And awesome stuff. Right behind you, man. I mean, come on. Dream Theater.
Looks like somebody thinks Rippers got a nice ass. So.
Ooh.
No, I am not commenting on that.
Yeah. Once again, I'm not touching up the 10-foot pole.
I'm just reading about it says of all the singers I've had.
Maybe you should drink some more balls.
Best just to leave that one away.
Right on.
We touched on a lot of the music questions, and what's funny is with this thing being a joint episode here with Anthony and Matt with the Unheard Scene, our show, FDH Lounge, nothing is off topic. So I want to go off the music for just a second here and ask you a question from having looked into some stuff with your background. Specifically, I wondered if you had any interesting stories about, I understand you've done some prison ministry work.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Chuck Colson, actually. I read his book immersed in some of that kind of stuff. That's really sweet stuff to be involved with. So just wondered if you had any, interesting, inspirational stories, whatever the case may be.
Well, a lot of the work that I've done has been through, like, the Orianna Halfway House and mm-hmm. The Portage and Summit County jails.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bared a lot of fruit, let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real rewarding time. And Jeff plays in my Christian band also, so I'm looking forward to maybe getting up there and doing that for those young guys because, you know, everybody deserves. So.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I mean, that's very admirable stuff.
Is it easy to talk to guys when you go into prisons, or does he have a rough time getting them to hear what you're saying?
I always thought of it this way. You know, they're gonna trust somebody that's been there and not somebody that hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, definitely. Yeah. Well, yeah, speaking captured off the wall, there's Jeff's sense of humor. You know, he says it's a captured audience. That's like I said, that's a whole other bird, and I'm sure we can go on for good couple hours on that one.
Right. I would look forward to exploring that at a future time. I thought that was very interesting. I just wanted to commend you because I thought that was very great stuff to read about you.
Well, I was blessed to, I came out of the gods and left the gods because I was signed by the Tate Music Group. And the first solo album's been a really learning experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but definitely, I'd love to go over that. That's something we could spend 6 hours on.
Let's do a rain check for that. I'd like to explore that. Yeah.
You guys, see, just to tell you guys, the FDH Lounge that Ricky does, I'm a big fan of his work. And Ricky's a really good friend of mine. Him and I go kind of way back. There is nothing that they don't talk about.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
It's easy just to bring anything up. And
it's and the funny thing is, the only time we ever did a joint show with anybody, it was a previous time, us and a sports talk show, we did a joint interview with Steve Sable from NFL Films.
Right. Sports, so rock and roll.
You guys are in really good company. You guys are right there with Steve Sable.
That rocks.
Yeah.
And I found out something today, and I'll tell you guys this. Ricky has the only interview with Steve Perry in about 15 years.
Wow.
Because I was talking with Pat. And Pat
say that
said,
again.
Pat really? Said Pat said he doesn't interview with people.
Wow.
And the last interview he can remember had been about 15 years.
That's you saying that, not me. I'm not going to make that claim. There ain't many of them.
That comes out of Pat Gisualdo, who's a pretty good friend of mine.
Surprised.
I choose to believe Pat then.
Pretty cool, laid back.
He was, and it was a thing. I didn't even realize at the time how big this was going to be until I started seeing the YouTube comments. I asked him a Sam Cooke question because I saw that he was big on
him.
It was interesting because Steve Perry, him and his mom both liked Sam Cooke. Same with me and my mom. So I just wanted to ask him about that. And dude starts singing like a few bars from Cupid, and it turns out holy crap, this is the first time he's been on tape singing in 13 years.
Wow, right on.
Just a couple bars, but
right on.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what, that next interview, I got some stuff to tell you about, like Phil Keaggy and some guys like that.
Okay,
sweet.
Cool. Got some real good stories. Ivory Line, had the pleasure of hanging with Big Daddy Weave and a few of these bands like that. So,
excellent.
I said, that's a whole different story.
We'll have to get you in the Freddy's studio up there.
Yep.
There you go. That would rock.
Our shows with Freddy are... Mm-hmm. We just put a microphone in the room and we all sit around and talk.
Freddie and I share the same booking manager, actually.
Oh, do you?
So,
Small world,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we hope you enjoy the Alice Chain show tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you for coming.
Absolutely.
Bye, Jeffrey.
Bye, Jeff. Hey, that's my son's name. So
he says, stroke a furry wall, make you feel better.
Thanks very much, fellas. Appreciate it.
Hey, thank you.